Praise the Lord. If you're glad to be saved, could you say amen this morning? Praise the Lord. If you're not glad you got saved, could you say amen? I was just checking because I didn't hear everybody on the first one, so I was just checking there. Amen. Would you stand for the reading of God's word in reverence to his word this morning? Verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those sayings which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. Verse 23, Jesus said, Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it's going to be done. I want to preach this morning on the promise of the moved mountain. I believe there's some folks here this morning, you have mountains that need moved in your life. But we have a promise of the moved mountain. Hallelujah. Father, shut up our hearts to the truth. May this be a holy moment made so by your Holy Spirit. And you know every need in this place. You know every person by name. You know every background, Lord. You know every struggle of heart, every thought. I pray through your word, Lord, you'd speak to everyone here and speak to them and specifically address their need. We need you, Holy Spirit. Jesus be glorified. Jesus be exalted. Be seen as Savior and Lord and healer and deliverer and coming King. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Back in Oklahoma, though this was back in the 60s and 70s, I can still remember one of the elderly saintly women testifying. And ever so often she would testify about something that happened in her childhood. And this was way back, I don't know how far in the early 1900s, but she would testify how there in Oklahoma, at least I'm assuming it was Oklahoma, it's where she lived then, but she said there was this plague of grasshoppers that was going through the country and just totally denuding every tree, eating every crop, and it began to progress across the countryside. She said that her family were church-going people and they could see the devastation of these grasshoppers as they were moving closer and closer to their farm. She said her dad got the family together and they began to pray, Lord, we've got to have this crop. We can't make it without this crop. God, would you not intervene and help us and stop that grasshopper plague? She said, we watched as those grasshoppers ate their way to the fence on this side of our property, lifted up in the air and flew to the fence on the other side of our property and never touched our crops. And even though that had been many years ago, that lady would begin to get all excited all over again at what the hand of the Lord had done. I remember even as a child, I never doubted that story. When I heard it, it thrilled me every time she testified it. And one of the reasons I didn't doubt it is because it matched things they were telling me in the Sunday school. In the kids' Sunday school, they were telling me that God did these things, and they were telling me that from the Bible. I want you to know we serve a mighty God, and he is moved by prayer, and he does do things in answer to the prayer of faith. I believe he wants to move some mountains in this place this morning. I wrestled all week with this passage, just exactly what does this verse mean? I know what it says. Jesus said, if you got a mountain, say to it, be removed and be cast into the sea, and it's going to be done. I know what it says, but my question is, how does that look in our everyday living? What does that speak to us right now today with the problems that we have in our lives? I don't know everything that it says, but whatever else it says, I believe this promise tells us that if we have a mountain in our life, we can look at that mountain and say, mountain, you are not stopping me. Mountain, I want you to know something. You are not defeating me. You are not taking my salvation. Mountain, I am moving forward and not backing up. Amen. Whatever this says, this promise means this morning, you could have insurmountable problems in your life. You could have struggles. You could have temptations. You can have difficulties, but by the power of God, you can say, I will not be stopped. I will not be defeated. I will not be hindered. Mountain, out of my way, I'm going forward. Mountain, out of my way, I'm going forward. I'm going to make it. I'm going all the way. I'll not turn back. I'll not give up. I'll not give in. I'm going to face you, mountain, and I'm going to make it to the other side. Oh, hallelujah. How many believes that this morning? I want to make some points that I believe are in here that God wants our hearts to ponder. Number one, there will be mountains. If anyone tells you that once you become a Christian, everything is easy going, they are lying to you. That's harsh words, but it's true. Find me a saint in the Bible that didn't have a rough time. Right? There will be mountains. Look at verse 23. Jesus says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Jesus was using a visible object lesson. I don't know if it was the Mount of Olives or another mount there, but Jesus was literally pointing to a mountain that all the disciples could see. Amen. He was saying, see that mountain? Let's talk about that mountain. Amen. The mountain that he was talking about was one that was in their line of vision. Every disciple could open their eyes and see that mountain. Even the Greek word for mountain is ouros, which literally means the thing that rises up in front of you. Amen. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but some of you know what a mountain is even this week, because there is something that has risen up in front of you, in your way, blocking you. That's what a mountain was. Jesus said, this mountain. I want to talk to you this morning about what you are calling today this mountain. There might have been mountains in your past, and there may be mountains in your future, but I'm talking about the mountain that you can say this morning, this mountain. Amen. I don't want you to call it out, but how many knows what your this mountain is? You know that. You can look in your life and you can say, this is the mountain that I'm facing. Why did God use a mountain? Because a mountain was the visible symbol of invisible difficulties in their life. But why a mountain? Because mountains are impossible to move. Hallelujah. Have you ever been to the Rockies, the Appalachians? You just don't walk up to a mountain and say, mountain, I'm going to move you. Now, I was a little disappointed because doing research for this, I found out that right now today in China, there is a city that got choked in its growth. They needed more room. So right now, they're in the process of moving 700 mountains, leveling 700 mountains to expand this city. You say, see, man can move a mountain. Hold on a minute. First of all, it's not just one man moving those mountains. And number two, they're using all kinds of machinery. And so it remains. It's impossible for a man to stand there singularly and look at a mountain. I'm talking about even physically, geographically. It's impossible for a man to look at a mountain and say, mountain, get out of my way. Be removed. Amen. Jesus chose a mountain because a mountain stands for that which is impossible. But I think he also chose a mountain because mountains pose difficulties. I know they're pretty. I know we We like the scenery. We like to look at them. But in every case in history, mountains, whether it's been expansion of the country, whether it's been a war, whatever it is, whether it's been agriculture, mountains pose a difficulty. Mountains are huge. Mountains are permanent. Mountains are barriers. Mountains stand in the way. In most cases, mountains cannot be circumnavigated. They keep people from moving forward. Even I've been reading all these books about the Antarctica explorers, and I read again this week, Amundsen, he was on his way to the South Pole, and things went good for a while, but suddenly he came to those interior mountains, and it talked about the harsh weather and the harsh terrain that those men faced in those mountains, almost impossible to get over the mountains to their goal. The mountains stood in the way of their destinations. Mountains are impossible to move. Mountains pose difficulties. Mountains stand in our way. I want to ask you this morning, what is your mountain? What is standing in your way? What is a barrier to your going forward in God? What is stopping you in having joy and peace? Whatever that mountain is, we've got a promise. I mean, I know there will be mountains, but we've got the promise the mountain will be moved. It's the mountain in your job, in your work, in your employment. It's the mountain in your family, in your marriage, with your children. Is your mountain, is it an inner thing of doubt and fear and pain? Is the mountain something with your body, a sickness or an affliction or an ailment? It simply doesn't matter what you're calling this mountain. The promise applies. This mountain shall be removed. The promise of the move mountain. I don't know all that means about moving the mountain, because I don't think we have a record in Scripture of anyone, including Christ, moving a literal mountain. He could have. I said he could have. But he's talking about more than literal mountains. He's talking about problems that stand in our way, sicknesses that hinder us. Whatever it speaks about, it speaks to me that no mountain has to stop me. No mountain has to take my faith in Christ. No mountain has to turn me around. No mountain has to defeat me. And whatever mountain there is, if I'll place my faith in Jesus Christ, I can have victory over it. How many believes his word this morning? Secondly, this morning, I want us to notice something interesting. We are to speak to our mountains. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain." You know, preachers never can do this, though they say they could, but I could have reduced the sermon to this: speak to your mountain and stop letting your mountain speak to you. Amen. That's what Jesus is really saying. Speak to your mountain. You know, we talk a lot about our mountains, but it's time in faith and in prayer to speak to our mountain. I tell you, the first thing I'd like to say to my mountain is, mountain, I'm not going to deny your reality. You are there. But mountain, I want you to know something. By my faith in Jesus Christ, you are not stopping me. I am not giving up. I will go forward. Amen. We talk to our friends and our family about our mountains. Now listen, we are human. We need to confide in people. We need just to vent, as the modern vernacular is. We do need to talk to people. But if all we're doing is talking to family and friends about the mountain, it's still going to be there. Amen. We talk to God about our mountain. We should. The Bible encourages us to talk to God about our mountain. But instead of always just telling God how big our mountain is, maybe sometimes we need to tell our mountain how big our God is. We go to God, like he doesn't know, like he's going to be surprised to find out. God, do you know how big that thing is? I mean, look how tall it is. Look how wide. God, can you see that? And God said, no, I couldn't see it. Thank you for enlightening me. Could you draw me a picture? And so we talk to God. Look how big that mountain. There comes a time, yes, we need to do that. But there comes a time to begin to talk to that mountain about how big our God. Mountain, you may be big, but have you seen my God? Instead of asking God if he knows how big the mountain is, maybe you should ask the mountain if it knows how big God is. Hallelujah. Speak to that mountain. We talk to friends and family. We talk to God. We even talk to ourselves about how big and troublesome the mountain is. We'll go on and on about our mountain. I'll never whip this thing. I'll never overcome this temptation. I'll never get beyond this problem. I'll never be in over talking to ourselves about how big our mountain is. But Jesus said, speak to the mountain. Mountain, I want you to begin to think of some things you can say to your mountain. Let me tell you some of the things I thought of. Mountain, you may be awfully big to me, but you're minuscule to God. Mountain, you might as well get out of my way, because I am not, by the grace of God, I am not turning around. So you might as well just go ahead and move. Maybe you specifically name your mountain. Spirit of fear, you're not from God, because the book said God has not given us a spirit of fear. So spirit of fear, you might as well just give up and leave me alone, because I don't have to put up with you. What about it, doubt? Doubt, you might as well just turn around and get on out of here, because I have put my faith in God, and God is faithful, and I need not be ashamed in whom I have believed, for I am persuaded. I know in whom I believed, and I am persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What about it, worry? Amen. Listen, worry, you're going to have to get out of here, because I am standing on the promises of God. I have chosen to believe his word, and forever his word is settled in heaven. Let God be true, and ever man and ever demon and ever mountain a liar, let God be true. Listen, temptation, I'm not going to give in to you. Amen. I'm not going to give out, because God has promised he'd make a way of escape. Talk to that mountain. Listen, finances, I know I got problems, but I am serving a God who said he would provide. I am serving a God that owns a cattle of 1,000 hills. I am serving a God who is able to take the fish and the loaves and divide them. Hallelujah. I may be sick, mountain of sickness, I may be sick, but God made this body, and he's a great physician who can heal it. Amen. I may have troubles in my marriage. Listen, you mountain of a troubled marriage, but I am turning, and we are turning to the God that designed marriage, and the God that designed marriage, he knows how to make it work. You speak to the mountain. What do you speak to it? You speak to your mountain what God would say to it. And how do you know what God would say to the mountain? You read his book. You read his book. Mountain, I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. Mountain, I can do all things through him that strengtheneth me. You listen to me, mountain. Greater is he that is in me than you. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish somebody just let God help him right now. You begin to feel you are going to overcome. That mountain is moving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what the difference is between David and his brothers and the rest of the Israeli army? When David the boy got there, Goliath had every Israeli soldier quaking in fear, including King Saul. They were hiding, they were running. Even David's big, bold brothers, they were trembling with fear. But David, the little 17-year-old boy, went out there and faced Goliath and overcome. What is the difference? What is the difference? David's brother, Saul, and the Israeli army, they kept talking about Goliath. Amen. You read the book, you read the chapters. They said, said, this man, he's a fierce champion. He's the biggest the Philistines have. I mean, he's big. He's mean. He's a Philistine. I mean, he's wicked. I mean, he eats people for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and a snack before midnight. I mean, they talked on and on and on about how big Goliath was, talking about Goliath. But David, he got out in that valley, picked up those five stones, loaded his sling, and he did not talk about Goliath. He talked to Goliath, and he said, who are you to defy the armies of the living God? By God's power, I'm going to conquer you this day. He talked to him. I'm talking about in prayer, but it's time we quit talking about the mountain and start talking to it. Hallelujah. Who are you to stand in my way? I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then I want us to notice that our speaking to the mountain must be with words of faith. Verse 23, whosoever say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. You know, it's no good to talk to your mountain if you're going to keep talking defeat and discouragement and giving up. No need to talk to your mountain if at the same time you're saying, I don't know if it pays to serve God. I don't know if I really want to serve him. It'll do no good to talk to your mountain. Here's how some folks talk to their mountain, but they talk in doubt. They're talking to their mountain all right, but it's in doubt. They say things like, mountain, you're really big. Mountain, I don't think I could ever get beyond you. Mountain, I'm too tired. I'm too weak to climb you. It does no good to speak to the mountain with your mouth unless you're going to believe in God with your heart. Amen. It does no good to speak to the mountain unless you doubt not. No need to tell your mountain to get out of your way when you're thinking of turning back. No need to tell the mountain be removed when you're believing down deep it's always going to be there. No need to tell the mountain to move when you're planning on staying right where you're at. How many of those folks like that? They're telling their mountain to move, but they have no intentions of going anywhere. I wrote a little dialogue of talking to the mountain in doubt. Mountain! You know, see, doubt means to equivocate, to go both ways. I believe, I don't believe. God's big, my mountain's bigger. Mountain, I will go ahead and say to you, get out of my way. But oh, mountain, you're so big and steep and cold, you aren't going anywhere soon, are you? Mountain, I'll say to you, get out of my way, but there's no way I'm getting rid of you, oh, mountain, is there? Now, mountain, Jesus said, I could tell you to be removed and cast into the sea, but I don't see how that's going to work. I don't see how that's going to happen. Mountain, you can't stand in my way. I'm going forward. On second thought, oh mountain, you don't look like you're going anywhere, so I might as well try to find another way. Doubt not. Believe in God. And so our lesson is, speak to your mountain, and don't let your mountain keep talking to you. Your fears say you can't. Your carnal nature says you'll never be spiritual. Your bitterness says nobody loves you. Your melancholy says life is always going to be awful. But you talk to your mountain and say, mountain, I've listened to you long enough. Now you are going to listen to me and listen what thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. And then I will remind us, before we get too carried away, that only God can move the mountain. Some people talk to their mountain, but they forgot to bring God along. They got to thinking it's all about them, all in them. Look what Jesus says in verse 22. He began this discussion by saying, Jesus said unto them, have faith in God. You see, I start with this premise. My mountain is bigger than me, but my mountain is not bigger than God. Therefore, my faith is not in me, my wisdom, my ability, my resources. My faith is in God. Hallelujah. You might have been with me for a while, but I want you to hear what I have to say. Jesus had said, have faith in God. We have books written, messages preached, a great following that have misconstrued those words. They said what Jesus really said is to have the faith of God, or to have the same kind of faith that God has. In other words, even God himself is subjected to faith, and God himself can only do something by this force and this power of faith. That's what they're saying. But Jesus isn't saying to have God-like faith. He is saying have faith in God. Put your trust in God. Have faith in God. Believe in his power and his ability. If faith is just a force we learn how to harness, we don't need God. But I want to tell you, faith isn't a force to harness. Faith is a decision to put our trust in God. Amen. Folks are amazed when I say this before they hear me out. But faith never did anything. If anything happens, it's God that does it. Hallelujah. But why does God do it? He does it because we put our faith in him. Don't make faith some kind of force and formula. Amen. That works. Things happen because I've learned how to exercise some kind of... No. Faith never did anything. But read the book. God does it. And God does it when our faith and our trust and our faithfulness is placed solely in him. You see, Jesus said, say to this mountain, be removed and cast into our sea. But never make the mistake to think that it's our words that move the mountain. It's God that moves the mountain at our words. God hears our words. God hears our faith. And it's not some mystical power of my spoken word that moves the mountain. It's that God hears what I'm saying to the mountain. And God says, if you'll say that to the mountain, I'm going to get involved in that. Hallelujah. David talked to Goliath, but it wasn't David that propelled that stone. It was God that propelled that stone. Hallelujah. Put your faith in God. Hallelujah. You see, we speak to the mountain knowing that God is behind us, empowering us, backing us, enabling us. This isn't a prophecy. I'm just making an illustration. We have an ice storm. The electric's out. You're at a busy intersection, approaching it at 65 miles an hour. Little old policeman has gotten out of his car before they get help with the traffic light that's went out. He stands there in that uniform, 150 pounds, 5'4". You're barreling down at him at 65 miles an hour. He blows that whistle. He holds up his hand and says, stop. And what do? Of course, fishtailed, it's icy. Was it the power of his word, the verbalization of his word going out of his mouth that moved up against your bumper and pushed back on your bumper? No, you know why he stopped? Because you know he's a little guy. And you could probably get out of the car, and if he wasn't in uniform, you could get him in a chicken neck hole there, you know. He ain't very strong. But when he says something, he has that uniform behind him. He's got that badge behind him. He's got that law behind him. He's got city hall behind him. He's got state troopers of the state house behind him. He's got the federal government ultimately behind. He's got the courts of the land. Listen, in myself I'm nothing. My words have no power. But if I'll put my faith in God and speak to that mountain in faith, suddenly all of heaven is behind me. Hallelujah. God is moved by my faith. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't say have faith in my words. He didn't say have faith in my faith. He said have faith in my God. And believe me, if you hadn't picked it all up, listen to it again. Because I'm telling you the truth. Some will teach you to have faith in your words, faith in your faith. But Jesus never said to do that. He said you put your faith in your God. Hallelujah. It isn't my word that moves the mountain. It is God responding to my word. Oh, how isn't that wonderful to know that our prayers of faith can mobilize the mighty forces of heaven? And then I want you to know, last of all, the mountain will be moved. Verse 23, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. We could preach a whole series on this passage, and that scares you when I say something about series around here. I'm not going to. You know, some of us, God wired us a little bit differently. It's not that we don't have faith in God. It's just we can't keep our mountain, or our mountain, maybe it is a mountain. We can't keep our minds from asking questions. How many knows what I'm talking about? You know what God's word says, but you just, your mind asks the question. And the question that I ask is, why isn't the mountain moving? If God said, speak to the mountain, it'll remove. Why isn't it moving? How many's ever asked that question? If God said it would move, why isn't it moving? Now, we're going to understand here that you are a child of God putting your faith in him. Now, if you're not a child of God, you don't put faith in God. You don't trust him. You don't look to him. You can speak to mountains all you want to, and nothing's going to happen. But I'm talking about being a child of God, putting your trust in him. You've spoken to your mountain, but the mountain doesn't seem to be moving. I believe there are some answers if we take in all of the word of God. And I think the first answer is the mountain is moving, just not yet. Amen. Now I want to answer to you from Scripture. Now I could read these verses to you, but you just listen and I'll tell you. Why did Jesus start talking to his disciples about moving the mountain? It's because they noticed the fig tree. But if you'll notice in the story of the fig tree, that story started the morning before. And Jesus and his disciples were leaving the city on their way to Jerusalem, the village on the way to Jerusalem, and Jesus saw a fig tree that had leaves, and he went to it expecting to have fruit. He said, I'll have fig Newtons for breakfast. And he went to the fig tree, and it had no fruit. And that's another story in itself. He's actually talking about the Jews. They had everything they needed, the truth of God, to bear righteous fruit, but they didn't. And what did Jesus do? He said to that fig tree, he said, I curse you. And you know what the Bible says? And the disciples heard it. You know what that means? That means they had some questions too. Because Jesus cursed that fig tree, and they're walking down the road. The disciples are looking back because they don't see any difference in that fig tree. The leaves still look green. It don't look any different. Jesus cursed the fig tree. Amen, but it looks the same as it always did. Can you see him walking towards Jerusalem looking back at the fig tree? Nothing happening I can see. Have you ever been there? In fact, it said they heard it. But here's the point. They went to Jerusalem. They went back, spent the night. And the next morning, they're passing the same fig tree. And guess what? It's all withered up. Just like Jesus said. Can you imagine? Listen to what Scripture said. And in the morning they saw the fig tree dried up. Here's the clue. Get it. Dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree. Almost like he can't believe it. Which thou curseth is withered away. Now here's what I want you to get. Jesus said, you can speak to your mountain just like I spoke to the fig tree. But when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, there was not, in this case, an immediate, noticeable change and difference. It was only the next day that the fig tree was withered. Oh, but wait a minute. Where was it withered from? The roots. And so What that means is that very moment Jesus spoke to the fig tree, that tree started withering way down deep at the roots. They didn't see it yet, but it was already withering. Jesus said, this mountain's going to be like that fig tree. I wish every mountain would move immediately. But what we need to believe, if we have spoken to the mountain, it may still be there. But what we need to believe, it is going to move somewhere way down deep in the bowels of that mountain. There's a rumbling going on. There's a cracking of the crust. We may not see it. You may not see it. But if you'll speak in faith and believe God, somewhere in the depths of that mountain, the cracks, the fissures are already there. Amen. The preparation for the mountain to fall is, I'm telling you, keep believing God, keep speaking to that mountain. You don't know what's taking place in the unseen roots of your problem. Oh, I wish somebody would shout hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And so, why hasn't the mountain moved? It is moving. Not just yet. Now, I'm going to tell you this, not to kill your faith, but I'm going to tell you this because it's the reality of the thing. Now, I want you to listen closely. Jesus said, this mountain shall be removed. Listen carefully. He did not say every mountain. And I'll tell you why. Some mountains aren't for moving. Some mountains are for climbing. You say you can't be wrong. Right. I beg to differ with you. Because Jesus, who gave us this instruction, just days later, he did not move the mountain. He climbed it. And that mountain is Mount Calvary. Aren't you glad he didn't move that mountain? But he climbed it. Oh, but he's moved a lot of mountains, having climbed that one. Oh, I said, he's moved a lot of mountains, having been willing, not my will, but thine, having been willing to climb that one. Hallelujah. I want us to do something. I'm about done, but I want us to do something. I want you to just lift your hands and thank God that he climbed that mountain. Hallelujah. Thank him for Calvary. Brother Wilson, that's why our mountains can move, is because he climbed that one. Oh, come on, let's have church while we're here. Hallelujah. Let's believe mountains to come down. Listen, I'm not trying to kill your faith. I'm trying to preach the whole counsel of truth. Some mountains aren't for moving. They're for climbing. I'd rather he move the mountain. But I have discovered something. If this is a mountain that's for climbing, it may not move. But if I'll put the same faith that'll move the mountain in him, he'll give me the strength. He'll give me the empowerment. He'll give me the ability to climb that thing until I summit it. Hallelujah. And get beyond it. And then last of all, or two more quick things. This mountain may not be moving until you get things right with somebody. Oh, I heard several times this week, just leave that out. Do you have that there, brother? This mountain isn't moving till you get things right with somebody. Thank you, brother. Jesus, look what Jesus said when he's right in the middle of talking about moving mountains. Look what he said here. He quits talking about faith and starts talking about forgiveness. Now, wouldn't that have been better if I just left that part out? And when you stand praying, putting your faith in God, talking to your mountain, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, you might as well forget about the mountain moving, because neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Have you ever, now this is on the authority of Jesus' word, have you ever considered that sometimes the reason the mountain isn't moving is because you need to make something right with somebody? How many rather I just left that part out? We want to talk about the faith.
But we need to talk about the forgiveness. You know, sometimes a mountain in a marriage is only going to move when you start talking forgiveness to one another. Amen. Whew. You should have shouted it down just a few minutes ago, then we could have quit there. Last of all, I want you to know something on the authority of God's word. Whatever the mountain, this mountain is every mountain, will one day be leveled. How many knows the scripture promises a day when every mountain is going to be leveled and every valley is going to be filled? Whatever that means geographically, that means to me, no more having to climb those hard mountains. No longer having to bog our ways through those dark and muddy valleys. He's going to level the mountains and fill in the valley. You say you don't know what kind of time I'm having. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes when a preacher bears down on something, it's not necessarily because he knows what it's like with everybody else, but he knows what it's like to himself. And you can get tired of climbing mountains and sludging your way through valleys. But one day, every mountain is going to be leveled. And every valley is going to be filled in. Don't let the mountain stop you. Look at it and say, oh, you may be imposing, but I've got the promise of God. One day, you too are going to be leveled. Would you come, music? Oh, hallelujah. I believe God does things in answer to prayer, don't you? Hallelujah. I was reading last night. I'd read this years ago, I think, in the biography. Years ago, I believe it was in New England, Billy Graham. He was holding a crusade. And over that stadium, those jets were taken off from the airport close by. And over that stadium, they were taken off and landing and going right over the stadium. You couldn't hardly hear the singers just begin to talk. And there come a jet, just drown everything out. Billy Graham got up to preach and he said, folks, this will not do. Let us pray. God, you can see how these jet airplanes are interrupting this crusade. Now, God, we are praying that you will change the direction of the wind to change the flight patterns of those jets so we can hold this crusade. Immediately, they could feel it. The wind changed, and not another jet flew a pattern over that stadium the rest of the crusade. Hallelujah. I know of another man holding a great crusade in Latin America. Big old storm, open stadium. Big old storm came up. You could see the dark clouds. You could see the rain falling from it. Preaching away, God was moving, dealing with folks about their souls. And the man just turned and said, rain, stop right where you're at. It went on preaching, and not a drop fell in that crusade. I'm just telling you, we serve a mighty God. And it may look impossible, but God knows how to take care of it. How many believes that? I'm going to end with this. I've talked about mountains in our way, but you hear me. There's no greater mountain than the mountain of sin and guilt upon a person's life. If you're here and you've never just truly confessed your sins to Jesus Christ, you've never trusted in Him for salvation, it's not that you're just facing a mountain. It's that there is a mountain upon you. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to take the mountain of guilt and condemnation, to take it off of us. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God. How many is going to put your faith in God? Put your faith in God. I remember one of my Bible school students, interesting fella, he said, praise God, I always have a mountaintop experience. Either I'm on top of the mountain or the mountaintop's on me, but I've always got a mountaintop experience. That's faith. Hallelujah. Would you stand across the building and say, God, I'm going to put my faith in you, and I'm going to talk to my mountain on the authority of your word. Would you do that across the building? Would you lift your hearts and hands and say, mountain, you're not stopping me. You're not hindering me. I'm going forward. I'm not going back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Talk to that thing. Is it fear? Is it worry? Is it doubt? Is it a financial situation? Is it a sickness that has plagued your mind and your heart? Put your faith in God. You're here this morning. That last little thing I said, something moved in your soul. You felt something deep inside your person that says, that's me. I've had this burden. I've had this burden of sin. I've had this burden of hopelessness. I've had this burden of darkness upon my life year after year. I'd be so thankful if that would be removed. If that's you, you need to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Believe that if you'll confess your sins, He'll cleanse you. Believe if you'll trust in Him, nothing and no one else. Trust in Jesus for your salvation. He'll save you. He'll take that load of guilt and sin, that mountain of sin, that mountain of your life. Not live for Him. He'll take it off you. Are you here? We use these steps up front for an altar. And if you know exactly what I'm talking about, you feel a mountain upon your life, your person, you'd like God to remove that mountain this morning, I want to invite you to come to this step and kneel at it. Amen. Just come and say, I'm tired of this mountain upon me. I want the Lord to forgive me. I want to be His child. I want to have hope. I want to have hope. I want to know the joy of forgiveness. Oh, I'm telling you, there's no mountain like the mountain that's on top of you. You can lay it down this morning. Would you come? You need Jesus. Let's pray, church. You need Jesus. Lay it down. I'm promising you, if you'll come sincerely and put your trust in Jesus, you can leave without that mountain on you. All right? I want us to be honest. Terry's coming this morning. God's working in his life, doing great things, delivering him. But I want you to be honest. I want you to come now if you have a mountain that you need to talk to. Are you here? You've been letting that mountain talk to you, but you have a mountain in your life you need to talk to in belief this morning. I want you to come right now. You've got a mountain you need to talk to. Are you here? Would you come? You've got a mountain you need to talk to. Are there others that would come? Don't hesitate. Would you come right now? You've got mountains. Amen. These that are coming, make sure someone's coming to pray with them. Amen. Amen. You've got a mountain you need to talk to. Make sure everyone has prayed with this morning. I'm talking about putting your faith in God. You've got a mountain you need to talk to. You're not speaking empty words of your own imagination. You're speaking to the mountain, the Word of God. Hallelujah. You're saying to your mountain, God said. God said. Make sure everyone's prayed with this morning. I believe there's more here. You need the promise of the moon mountain. You need to come and talk to your mountain. Amen. Would you come and get the help God wants to give you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's begin to fill these altars. Make sure everyone is prayed with today. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Never had a valley too low for you to walk through. Never had a river too wide for you.
If you're not praying for a specific need, find someone to pray with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Speak to that thing. Speak to that thing. Hallelujah.
He's bigger than your mountain. Tell your mountain that. Tell your mountain that. My God is bigger.
Strengthens me. All things through Christ.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
There's no mountain too high, no river too wide. Remember, Jesus is greater.
He's greater
than them all.
Let's do some talking this morning.
Never had a question.
Tell your mountain what God has said. What does God have to say?
Oh,
yes, Lord.
Had a burden to
yes, Lord.
Bear.